Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and along with our team of correspondents, we'll be taking a look over the next hour at the sporting action on Ireland and beyond this weekend, coming up tonight. It's bottom versus top in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, and the opening ties of this year's Canada Life Women's FA Cup are among this weekend's upcoming football clashes. In rugby, it could be now or never for Douglas in their playoff hunt in Regional 2 North West. Vagabonds and Ramsey are both on the road in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League, and Vagabonds ladies are also on their travels in Women's NC 2 North South. Meanwhile, no fewer than four league titles remain there for the taking on Saturday in what will be the finale to the 2026 Isle of Man Hockey League season. And with demand already around record levels, we hear from the organiser of this year's Isle of Man Easter Festival of Running, which takes place over 3 days from next week. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and I, along with our team of correspondents, Tony Mepp and Ben Cunningham and Dave Christian, to take a look at the latest sporting action coming up on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend. Busy schedules once more in football, rugby and hockey across the island, with plenty to play for as all of those respective sports enter the real business end of their respective seasons. We're going to turn to football first of all, and after a jolly trip away last weekend, he's back in the studio with us this time around. Our football correspondent Tony Mepp joins us. Tony, I bet it was nice to get a bit of fresh air away from the island as well, a bit of change of scenery.
Certainly was. Over to watch the cup final, which obviously didn't go to plan. Had great seats and had a good time, because it's always nice to watch a live game, Rob, you know that yourself, but to watch a cup final where you're expected to do very well in it, and really taken to the sword in the second half by Man City. It didn't go to plan, but hey, it didn't spoil it. I sort of forgot about it an hour later when there was a couple of pints and maybe a little toddy as well with it. Yeah, it was really good, and glad to be back involved in Manx football in a live process.
Indeed, straight back into the thick of things this weekend. So a mixture of cup and league action taking place across both Saturday and Sunday in Manx football this weekend, starting with Saturday. And we'll start with the cup fixture taking place on Saturday. It's in the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals. Of course, we had the other semi-final which took place last weekend. Corinthians just edging out Peel. So looking to try and meet Corinthians in the final is one of either St Mary's or Rushen United. They'll meet in the early kickoff at the ball in the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals tomorrow, Tony, at 1:45pm kickoff.
Certainly is, and it's a big game, isn't it? Because this is all about playing in the cup final on Easter Saturday. The game will kick off on Easter Saturday at 1 o'clock. We've had to bring it forward due to maybe extra time and the FC Isle of Man playing later on as well, but certainly it's all to play for. Current form, you'd go for St Mary's, because you know they've been in good form. It just depends what squad members are available, because when you look at it, they've got some really talented players who are sitting in sort of the combination playing their stuff. But I just wonder if tomorrow afternoon that Albert Harrison might just bring them in and play them, because you know, it's a big game. Rushen, when you look at it, have been a bit up and down, haven't they, with some of their results and performances, but again, David Ward, the new manager, who's been in post now for about a couple of months, he'll be looking to get the best out of the team, and I'm going to go for St Mary's to go through.
Very well, so that's a 1:45pm kickoff at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow, the ECAP FA Cup semi-final, St Mary's versus Rushen United. Elsewhere, league action gets underway at 2:30pm across the board on Saturday. In the Canada Life Men's Premier League, there are five fixtures taking place, starting over at Blackberry Lane and Douglas High School Old Boys, whose opportunities are slowly fading away at the moment in their fight for survival at the moment. They're coming up against Onken this weekend.
Yeah, and you're right in what you're saying, is the games are starting to run out for them. When you look at it, they played 17, so they've got seven to play with. 5 points there. You just look at above them is Braddon, who are 8 points clear of them. Then, you know, Old Boys, if they're going to sort of survive in the Premier League this season, they really got to try and find something. Scoring goals, you know, is not a problem when the full strength squad is available. But Onken just, they've been our favourite team this year, Rob, haven't they? And at times, they've really done really well against some of the top teams. But at the moment, struggling to defensively, really, to stop goals going in. And that sort of 12 goals that were conceded against Peel really hurt them. So it's something that James O'Kelly will have to do, the manager of Onchan, is try and get things right. But for Old Boys, I think Robbie Ward's still in charge, will be looking to fire the troops up. And it is at Blackberry Lane. The pitch should be okay. But I think Onchan will just be a little bit too strong for Old Boys.
And Onchan could realistically, with the win, climb as many as two places up to fifth in the table if they take maximum points at Blackberry Lane this weekend. Elsewhere out in the west of the island, so Peel at the moment, they're 5 points off Corinthians at the top of the moment. Peel sat in second, but crucially, of course, still three games in hand as well for Peel to try and catch their title rivals. They're going to be at home to St John's United this weekend.
Yeah, and I think, you know, St John's are just one of those teams. They're really awkward at times to beat, and some of the top sides, as I know Corinthians did this year, they drew with them earlier on. And, you know, Peel always sort of get a game against St John's, and being at Peel, Douglas Road at the Peel's ground, it's always another driving force, because there's a good crowd there who are always vocal, always supporting their team. But you know, Peel, Thomas Brown's back in form again, 4 goals last time he was out there. And I just feel that St John's have got to be at their best. Now, player-wise, I'm hearing that possibly, you know, one or two are going to be missing. I'm not 100% sure who. They wouldn't give the news away. But I just think, you know, Peel, as you rightly say, I know they've got 3 games in hand on Corinthians, but they've got to keep winning, and they've got tough fixtures coming up. I know one against St Mary's, so I'm going to go for Peel to win it. But don't be surprised if St John's don't make it difficult, certainly in the first 45, and then it's how fitness is in that second period.
Elsewhere, it's bottom versus top in the Canada Life Men's Premier League over at Billygoe Park, because Foxdale sat bottom as they have been for much of this season. Of course, it's been difficult for them. No wins yet. In fact, still the only team to register a victory in the top flight this season. However, although they are 10 points away from safety and Braddon up in 11th, they do have 4 games in hand on Braddon. So still a slight glimmer of hope for Foxdale at the moment in the final stage of the season. But it's as tough as they get, really, in terms of challenges this weekend. Tony, they're up against the current league leaders, Corinthians, who will want to maintain or even extend that 5-point gap at the top.
Definitely. And this game, Rob, I haven't had news officially, but I've seen it posted through my club that this game's been moved to Corinthians now. So Foxdale's pitch, I think they were sort of setting it up last night from what I heard, and obviously with that rain that we've had this afternoon, then it's put pay to Foxdale's pitch. But, you know, no problems, and I think Foxdale will be happy enough at the moment sort of going up Ballofletcher, because they've been playing well. And Anthony Corkle must be really impressed with his team, just sort of picking themselves up. As I keep saying, the team's unrecognisable when you look at player-wise over the last couple of years. So the new players that they've brought in have done really well, young players, and showing a lot of character. As were with Corinthians last week, played really well against Peel from what I heard. And Dan Simpson, great to see him back after his hamstring injury. Couple of goals for him, and sort of Connor Clark hit form as well. Really strong outfit, Corinthians, when they're all there together. Depends who's available as well, whether Joe Marquez or Joe Middleton will be available. But Sean Doyle's there, always in the thick of the action. Ryan Burns as well. I have to go for Corinthians to take victory.
Elsewhere at Victoria Road, Braddon, who'll want to try and pull a bit further clear of the bottom two. They are currently in safety at the moment. They're 8 points clear of Douglas High School, All Boys below them, but having played 2 games more. They're going to be at home to Ramsey this weekend.
Yeah, and I think Ramsey have picked up of late, and their results are starting to make them a little bit higher in the table. They've only played 16 games. So, you know, if you look, there's a 5-point gap between the team above them. That's Onchan. But I think, you know, certainly Anthony Cooper's happy enough with the way the team have settled themselves down, if you like, because the players are still there. There's still the ones that have been there most of the season, but there seems to be getting a little bit more out of them. Braddon, Ben was assigned for them, so the player from Laxey has been allowed to transfer to sort of Braddon, and that make them stronger. So when you look at him, Dan Kinraid, they've got Liam Sale in there as well. There's a glut of players who can score goals, and certainly they'll be looking to make it more difficult against a Ramsey team. But I think Ramsey, current form, they'll win it.
And the remaining game in the Canada Life Men's Premier League is at Gary Moore, and that sees two sides locked together on points, but just separated by goal difference, only by 2 goals. Unimills in 9th, Ayr United in 10th, both on 21 points.
Yeah, and what a performance in the last game. Tyler Hughes with those 4 goals, absolutely superb. And against Ayr United, you don't know what Ayr United team you're going to get, because it's only a few weeks ago when you remember that they held Corinthians to that draw. So if they can get those same sort of players out, team performance, then again, they could maybe get something away from Unimills. But I think Ryan Kelly at the moment is happy enough with his squad. They're playing well. He's pretty well full strength from what I can see from the team sheets. So I'm going to go for Unimills to win.
Over to Ardern and Drugon Limited Division 2 then. Four games there this weekend. So state of play is that Colby, who are currently leading at the top, 10 points clear of Castletown in second, albeit Castletown have played two games less. Colby on a rest week this week, so there's a chance for Castletown to close that gap to 7 points this weekend. We'll come to their fixture in a moment. Yep. But another crucial one out at Bala Fletcher this weekend, Tony, because Douglas Rawlins 7th. They're going to be hosting Moran, who are in third at the moment, 6 points behind Castletown, but have three games in hand on Castletown.
Well, they have, and all they've got to do is sort of keep winning. And I know there's a few people out there saying, are we playing midweek games next week? No, we're not. There's not enough light, so we're going to go the week after Easter and we'll get some on. We're going to have to go a slightly earlier kickoff because the darkness is still around. We'll wait and see how it looks on Sunday after the clocks go and move. So I think I'm going to go for Moran. I think certainly what's helped David Brew is that the players have stepped up. They're looking really good. Carl Hartman scoring goals and Connor Gilbert scoring goals. And I think right the way through that team, they're scoring plenty of goals, and I think that's the Achilles heel for them at the moment. Douglas Royal, you know, have done well this season, I think, and even though when you look at the league table, the seventh, I still think with the squad that they lost 2 years ago, Rob, they've done well to fill those sort of gaps, and that's why I'm just going to go from round to win it.
Elsewhere, Governors Athletic, who earned an impressive 3-3 draw at home to Paul Rose United last weekend, it must be said, they're going to be hosting St George's.
Yeah, and again, if they can show that same grit and determination, there's never a question of Governors not getting stuck in and giving 100%, but it's just that little extra bit that they need. And against St George's, if they can find that, then it could be a difficult game for St George's, because I know one or two players have been missing for them recently, which has weakened them a little bit. But I think Governors will still find it difficult to beat them. I'm just going to go for St George's to sneak it.
And in the north, the Island Rams, you sent an all boys in fourth, host Pulrose United in fifth. This could be an interesting one.
Yeah, it could be. And I think it's more of a damage limitation for Ramsey Youth Centre, because they want to go into the final on Good Friday in sort of fully fitness, good confidence from this game. And when you look at Paul Rose, you've just touched on it, Governors Athletic 3-3 just shows you possibly where Paul Rose are at the moment, you know, player-wise, and also the way things are going for them. Ramsey Youth Centre, I think, will win it. Really good performance for them in the last game. And then it's down to get themselves ready for next Friday, because what a game that's going to be for Ramsey Youth Centre and against Moran. And who's going to win that one? We'll speak about that in the week.
Indeed we will. And the fourth and final game is Castletown, who we mentioned before, who could move to within seven of Colby at the top, but they've got a Southern Derby to contend with over at Clackvane, because they're heading to Maloo this weekend.
And it's always a battle, Maloo against Castletown. And I think Maloo have acquitted themselves of late, some really good performances. A look at the team, and you know, the players are there. I think what's helping them, they're disciplined in the job, because sometimes Castletown, when it's not going quite right, you know, a player can get booked and suddenly get sent off. They seem to be sorting that out at the moment. And I've watched Castletown recently. I watched them against Colby, where they lost out. And I still think Castletown have got enough there to get promoted, but they've got to dispose of teams like Maloo, or sort of lower down the league, but awkward to beat. And I think they'll just do it. Castletown to win.
Quick look through the combination leagues, then we'll start with Canada Life combination one. So first off, just quickly how things look at the top of the table at the moment. Corinthians leading the way with 44 points after 20 games so far. Ramsey sitting in second, 4 points further back, but with two games in hand on Corinthians just above them. And then just a point further back on Ramsey are Peel on 39 points. They've played a game more than Ramsey, but again, one game less than Corinthians at the top. And don't discount as well St Mary's in fourth on 37 points. Both Onken and Rushen United in fifth and sixth on 36. So it's still relatively congested toward the top of the table. Tony, take us through the five games in Canada Life Combination 1.
Yeah, absolutely spot on there, Rob, because when you look at position 1 to position 6, there's only sort of 8 points between it. And when you look at games played, there's a lot of difference in that one. But let's have a look at Onken against Douglas High School Old Boys. Onken are in fifth place, Old Boys in eighth. You've got to go for Onken to win that. St John's against Peel. To me, I'm still going with Peel. They've only played 19 for 39. So if they win that game in hand on top of the table, Corinthians, then they're right in it with 42. So I'm going to go for Peel to beat St John's. Ramsey against Braddon. Ramsey also one of the favourites, just below Corinthians. 4 points adrift, but they do have two games in hand. Ramsey to win that. Ayr against Union Mills. Ayr struggling to field a team, and Union Mills over the last few games. So it depends what players they've got out there. I'll just go for Union Mills. And Rushen against Corinthians. Big, big battle this one, because Rushen are in sixth place, played 19 for 36. Corinthians 20 for 44. I've seen Corinthians squads, quite strong. I'm going to go for Corinthians.
And then over to Ardern and Drugan Limited combination two. Again, just a quick reminder of how things look at the top of the table at the moment in this business end of the season. Paul Rose United, it's been a stellar season for them so far. Just one defeat so far from their 19 games. 1-17, drawn one. They're leading the way on 52 points. 3 points further back are Ramsey Centre and Old Boys in second, but they do have a game in hand on Paul Rose United just above them. And then a further three back from Ramsey Centre and Old Boys in second is Douglas Athletic in third, who were also have only played 18 games alongside Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. So all not said and done. On at the top of Ardern and Drugan Limited combination two, as of yet, six games there this weekend.
There is, and let's have a look at Moran against Douglas Royal. Moran are in fourth place. Douglas Royal are just below them again in eighth. I'm going to go for Moran to win because they've got some really strong players in that team. Douglas Athletic against D&D. Well, D&D are bottom of the table with just the 5 points after 20 games. So after tomorrow, Douglas and District have only got three league games to play, but against Athletic, who've been sort of consistent in the top four all season. They played 18 for 46. I'm going to go for Athletic to win. St George's against Governors Athletic. They're pretty similar places in the league. I'll go for St George's to win. Paul Rose against Ramsey Youth Centre, first against second. Shame we couldn't cover this one. What a humdinger of a game this is, because you've got Ramsey Youth Centre, who are a game less played, but 3 points behind Paul Rose. So it's all to play for. I'm going to go for Ramsey Youth Centre to take victory. Castan against Maloo. I think Maloo have got so many games to play, I think it's going to tell at the end of the season. Castan to win. And Colby against James. I'm going to go for Colby to take victory in that.
All right, so those are Saturday's fixture. A reminder, all of those league matches getting underway tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. across the island. And then elsewhere, the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals, St Mary's versus Rushden United, that getting underway at the earlier time of 1:45 p.m. at the Bowl in Douglas. Turning to Sunday, and in women's football, attention turns from league action to cup action. We've got the first two fixtures in this year's Canada Life Women's FA Cup. Two first-round ties, both kicking off at 2 p.m. First of all, Onchan, they'll be hosting Peel.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's really difficult, you know, looking at the women's football, because you've got two teams that sort of stand out, a majority of the Ireland players playing for both of them. And then you've got the other teams who are sort of fighting, you know, for pride, and they do it so, so well. When you look at sort of Onchan, okay, they've gone off a little bit, but David Rees has still done a great job with that squad. There's still an awful lot of good players in there. But you just look at Peel's team sheet and it frightens you to death, to be honest with you. So you have to go for Peel in that one. And Unimills against Corinthians, you know, they played each other recently. A comfortable victory for Corinthians, but Unimills will just want to sort of, you know, get sort of the fixtures out of the way and then regroup for next season. They've done really well, but yeah, you can't see any other way of Corinthians losing this one. So Corinthians to win.
And just quickly to go to that second fixture there in Union Mills, of course, and they've had some tough results throughout the season since coming back into the Canada Life Women's League. So for those who don't know, just to reiterate, there were two teams that rejoined the Canada Life Women's League set up this season, Union Mills and also Rushden United back into it as well. And Union Mills still yet to get a win on the board across all competitions, but still turning out week after week. And, you know, I suppose, does it instill a bit of a mindset there that yes, of course, you want the results as well, but it's making sure that you're willing to take on those challenges in the first place?
Well, they knew what was coming, to be fair. And, you know, I applaud everyone who's been involved in it, not only just the players, but the management team and the club, because they've done it. You know, the season's coming to an end. You know, they've still got a few grass games to play, and hopefully, if Union Mills did pull off a shock, they've got another cup game as well. But, you know, credit to them, Rob, because you've played in sport, and at times when you get a sort of consistent loss on your sort of league table, it can sort of upset you a little bit. But the girls have enjoyed it, and I think the clubs as well have really respected them and shown a lot of applause for them, because they really have stuck at it, done it well, and you know, fair play.
All right, and then last but certainly not least, on Sunday we do have a triple header of fixtures taking place in the Masters football, back-to-back games at the Bowl, and also a game out at Ballafletcher as well. Tony, take us through those.
Yeah, the Masters fixtures is looking at the battles throughout this year, they've been some incredible. And Masters are so competitive now, and there's a lot of younger players, 35, 36, who have come into it as well and actually come back into football, which is great to see. But Colby against St Mary's, it's quite frightening, actually, when you see St Mary's team. I don't think it's as strong old boys, but certainly strong enough. So I'm going to go for St Mary's to win that one. It's 2:10 kickoff at the bowl. Laxey against Douglas and District. I think Laxey have got a few problems. I think there might be a few players missing in that one. So it might just go to Douglas and District to win that. And Corinthians against Peel. Certainly Corinthians over the last couple of games have gained some really good players and they've looked really well. They won the last game, I think it was 3-1, 3-2 against Peel. Always difficult to beat Peel. Good, strong Masters team. I'm going to go for Peel just to pip Corinthians.
And more generally, Tony, on fixtures, of course, the ultimate headache that you and the Isle of Man FA have had to deal with over the last couple of months is the poor weather. We've had a little bit of respite over the last couple of days here on the island and indeed last week as well. But where are we at generally in the amount of games that I suppose the FA and Manx football is currently behind at the moment that still have to be rescheduled?
Yeah, I'm working on the schedule now. We'll try and keep everyone up posted on it within 2 weeks. We're going to do the Hospital Cup, Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup and also the Junior Cup draws tomorrow because they start on the 18th, 19th of April. And the night games, as I say, we're not going to do any next week apart from one. We've got St John's on Tuesday against Union Mills in the Premiership. We hope to have got St John's this week against Oncombe, but unfortunately it didn't happen. St John's pitch wasn't fit. But in general, we've got an awful lot of games to play. But when you look at the league tables, Rob, I'm not panicking. I think we'll be okay. And at the moment, I think we can get every competition played, done and dusted. But we're going to be right to the wire and hopefully the weather plays ball because today we don't need any of that wet stuff that we've had once again.
And just finally as well on the point of fixtures and congestion, did see some comments elsewhere as well about what is maybe being considered by the FA, and one that came up was some people wondering whether there would be any changes or indeed the casting aside this season of the competition like the Cowell Cup as well. So is that true? Could you provide any clarity on that?
Yeah, no problem, because I brought it up at the meeting. Basically, what I explained was what is the plan of, you know, the backlog of fixtures that we've got, and we are sort of looking to play every single game. But if we do have an issue where we just can't get games completed, then we will have to look at it, and one of them could be the Cowell Cup. But our intentions is to play every single one. My big worry is, Rob, and we're not even into the rearranged fixtures games at the moment, the amount of games that we are losing as walkovers is quite worrying for me, for football in general. Which we need to sort of address, because players, whether they're injured or not available, you know, every week we're missing sort of three or four games. And I think it was 3 weeks ago, we had seven that were called off because they were walkovers. So that's something we need to look at as football. Players need to look at it. It's not club's fault because they're prepared, ready to go. It's just that they're not able to get enough players together to play combination games.
All right, Tony, thank you very much for the moment. So full details of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures, head on over to manxradio.com for further details as well.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Elsewhere, we're going to take a quick look at athletics because organisers of the Easter Festival of Running on the Isle of Man are praising the good vibe, as they call it, which has been created by locals and visitors ahead of the event's return next week. The three-day series, which takes place from Friday, the 3rd of April, to Sunday, the 5th of April, has seen big demand in 2026, with more than 750 people already signed up to take part in some or all of the races. Well, the festival's organiser, Chris Quine, he's been speaking to Darren Timpson this week, and Mr. Quine explains why he thinks the occasion, which is mostly made up of off-island competitors, is proving so popular.
We have an interesting mix of about 50-50 mix of visitors from off-island and locals taking part. We've got a lot of the visitors are either current or former members of universities, and they bring with them a lot of colour, a lot of life. They're very lively. They enjoy what they're doing. So it always engenders a really good atmosphere, good fun atmosphere around the events over the weekend. And I think that's what draws other people in as well. You know, the people that they try their hardest in the races, but they have fun away from the event as well.
Do you think that's a key, I suppose, selling point of the event itself, and why I imagine you probably get newcomers every single year, is the fact that it's also, like you said, it's got that fun side to it as well?
Yeah, I think it's the combination of the two. So a lot of the visitors, you know, it's a weekend away with their friends, doing what they enjoy, which is running and mixing and spending time together. For some of them, it's an annual ritual to come to the Isle of Man at Easter and perhaps memorize old times and share old stories and what have you. So we just get a really good vibe.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how the event takes place, isn't it? Because it's three different challenges over the 3 days. I suppose if you're doing all three, then the 5K on the Sunday is probably, you know, just trying to get to the finish line, where, you know, for some people who might just want to do the Peel Hill run, then that brings its own challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can do all three races, or you can just do one race or two races. It's up to you. You know, there's options. The visitors tend to do all three. The locals tend to pick and choose a little bit more. Perhaps they're, you know, it's a bit easier if you're just jumping in your car and going down to Port Eyre and rather than travelling over. So you're right. Each event is different. You know, the 10K, certainly on the Friday, it's a very fast course. And, you know, we're saying people here to have fun, but it does bring a lot of fast times and a lot of personal bests are run on that course as well. And I guess that's the race that people are going into fresh. They tend to give it everything on the 10K, and then people hang on over the weekend. Say the hill race for most of them is a little bit different from what they're used to, although we have got some very good hill runners coming over as well who are more specialist on the hills. And as you say, the 5K on the Sunday, for those that have done all three races, really a case of getting through it, I think. And I think they're glad it's flat and it's just an out and back course on Douglas Promenade.
That was Chris Quine, the organiser of this year's Easter Festival of Running on the Isle of Man. And a reminder, that taking place next weekend on Easter weekend from Good Friday, Friday the 3rd of April, through to Easter Sunday on Sunday the 5th of April. That made up of three races across 3 days. A reminder as well, if you do have an interest in this particular event, pre-entries have already closed, but a limited number of spaces will be available for the races on each day. So you can head on over to the Easter Festival of Running website as well for more particular details. Well, coming up after the break, we're taking a look at a big weekend in rugby once again. Could it be make or break for Douglas for the Regional 2 Northwest playoffs? And also the finale to the Isle of Man hockey season. Four titles up for grabs. Back in just a few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is just approaching 6:05, and we're going to be turning our attention to another busy weekend in rugby, both on and off the island in Regional 2 Northwest. It could very well be now or never for Douglas in their hunt for the promotion playoff places, with a big game of Portishee this weekend in Counties 3 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League, both Vagabonds and Ramsey in action across the water. Also in action across the water, Vagabonds Ladies in Women's NC2 North South, and the game that was off but is now back on. It's a meeting in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield between Southern Nomads and Douglas Celts tomorrow afternoon. Well, turning our attention first to Douglas and welcoming for the first time this evening our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Well, Dave, for Douglas, I think we all almost asked the question last week as to whether it's now or never for Douglas. Is it now turning to more of a, I suppose, to answer that question, now rather than never for Douglas this weekend up against West Park St Helens? They need to pick up points now in the race for the playoffs and quickly.
Yeah, Rob, it's very difficult for them. I don't want to say it's a bed they've made for themselves, but you know, the results since the end of November fell off a cliff very sharply, and I couldn't pin a reason on it. Maybe Phil Kringle, the coach, has done a better analysis than me, but really they've lost some games they should have won, and maybe any one of those games, you know, the game against Bottomside, Altrincham, Kersal, when Altrincham were winless all season and they turned Douglas over, that's probably the one they reflect on the hardest, because right now in their points position, another 5 points on the tally, and they're looking pretty good going into the final couple of weekends. They've got two games left: West Park St Helens this weekend and North Ribblesdale on the 11th. North Rib are the league leaders and champions elect. I think if they pick up 2 points this weekend, they'll get the title. That might be good news for Douglas, because that means North Rib will maybe go into that final game holding a little back and maybe experimenting with some new player selections. We'll have to wait and see for that. But This weekend, they have to take 5 points. They're just outside the playoff places, and 5 points could potentially put them ahead of the two sides above them, which is Widnes and Burnage. The gap isn't that big, and they've just got to knuckle down, get their points up, and then wait and see what happens when the final whistle comes from the other matches. I think Burnage are playing North Ribblesdale this weekend, and Widnes have a slightly easier game on paper, at least, away at Northwich, who are struggling at the bottom of the table. So it's looking positive for Douglas, but having to rely on picking up winning points away at North Ribblesdale on the last day of the season isn't good news for them. It's going to really put them into a corner. Team selection, I twitch an eyebrow at it. There are some changes to the side. I know you'll go through the squad later, but the big one for me is taking Josh Campbell out from hooker to play him in the back row. Now, I'm not saying Josh Campbell can't play in the back row. I think he can. He's an excellent player. He can play just about anywhere he likes in the team that I was picking. But he's been at hooker all season, and suddenly throwing him into the back row seems a little bit... I don't know whether it's a last gamble, maybe. It just seems a little bit of an odd selection. That's the one that sticks out. Everybody else picking themselves more or less, but they're moving Craig Martin into the centres, looking maybe to get a bit of early pace on the ball. But I don't know, weather's been good over here. The pitch should be reasonably dry. Weather forecast is reasonably benign. I'm going for a Douglas win.
Very well. So the Douglas side to take... on West Park St Helens tomorrow, Portishead is as follows. Starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order. It's Connor Garland, Brandon Haas, Simon Hoddenott, Ethan Kermode, Harry Cartwright, Josh Campbell, Blake Everson, Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Josh Duncan, Zach Wickman, Craig Martin, Matty Wood, Kyle Martin and Sheldon Higgins. Three substitutes for Phil Kringle's side. They are Mark Oldfield, Harry Hewson and Ollie Corkish. Turning to Counties 3 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League. Both Vagabonds and Ramsey in action across the water this weekend. So turning to Vagabonds first, Dave.
Yeah, Vagabonds away at Ormskirk. Now, Ormskirk are struggling a little bit at the foot of the table. However, we've always got this known unknown, if you do a bit of Don Rumsfeld. There's a definite known unknown here. We know that the points from phase one of the competition are going to be carried over to phase two. That hasn't been done administratively yet, which means the league table, when you look at it, is something of a nonsense. However, we are assured that the points will be carried over at some stage. One of the difficulties for the organisers is there's still one game left to be played in phase one. And they don't want to transfer over everything until that's all completed. So that game, I think off the top of my head, is Hoylake and Duckingfield. But I might be wrong with that. That game's going to be played in the very near future, and we should see that points carry over. As things stand, Vagabonds in second place, I think. And Ormskirk down near the bottom. Ormskirk beat Vagabonds in the first phase of the competition. But Faggers have been on the rise. They're getting better and better. Their players have been getting a little bit battle-hardened. We've got a reasonably strong squad out. They're still missing Joe Lowe. He's going to be out for the season, I think, with an arm injury. But, you know, Daniel Bonwick's back. He's worth 10 points in any side. They've got a reasonably strong back row. There's plenty of pace in the back line. Cam Finley's kicking his goals. What more can you ask for?
Indeed. Well, to go through the Vagabonds team, and I've just got to say once again, we haven't seen this for a while, but whoever is responsible for the Microsoft Paint illustrations, fair play to you as well. Other artistic programmes are available, of course, on computers. Turning to the starting 15 then for Vagabonds to face Ormskirk this weekend, it is as follows. It is Reece Oliveira, Tom Neeson, Matthew Rockwell, Harry Goodwin, Jake Dunsmore, Jack Versluis, Gav Turnbull, Leandro Marquez, Brendan Kelly, Daniel Bonwick, Cam Finley, Josh Modin, Max Ingracia, Steve Wiley and Jackson Bowers. And the substitutes that are available are John Ferguson, Cal Donnell and Joel Garrett. Turning to Ramsey, they're also away, and they're away at Cone and Nelson.
Yeah, we've been talking about this down at Ramsey. We had a committee meeting at the club last night, and everybody's buzzing about finishing the season on a high, so that's fairly positive. quite a nasty sick list, though. So there's a few players that we'd like to have out that can't play from reasons of injury or unavailability. Hopefully, they'll get themselves well and fit again after Colne game. There's a couple of weeks off. Next game, home against Ormskirk, I think on the 11th of April. So some changes to that Ramsey squad. Principal changes, we got a change in the second row. Josh Cuttine's going to come in. He's been nursing a hamstring problem, but he is the club captain and he feels a little bit of responsibility on those broad shoulders of his to step up when necessary. There's a very young back row as well, Finlow Corkle on one flank and Gary and Daniel on the other. Both played well in the last outing against Southern Nomads, although that ended in defeat, but both players acquitted themselves well. I did youngster Josh Kelly in the second row, so he gets a start as well. Outside of that, though, the back line's virtually unchanged, but what really is the problem for Ramsey this weekend is the strength in depth. Just got Simon Caller on a one-man bench as things stand, but we understand that maybe university student Ben Gelling will be available tomorrow. That might just help boost the strength in the squad. Which way it'll go, I don't know. It's hard to say. Colne started strong and then had some points deductions. They finished bottom in phase one and they had 15 points taken off them by the league. So fingers crossed, say Ramsey are capable of taking an away win.
Very well. No extra team news from Ramsey just at the moment. Turning to Vagabonds Ladies now, very quickly actually, before we turn to Vagabonds game this weekend. Congratulations to four of the Vagabonds players who have been called up to the Cheshire County setup. Leona McGovern, Becca Hicks and Freya Crow will form part of the latest Cheshire County squad, and Rosina McNair is joining the Cheshire Development squad. Great news, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vagabonds have got a little bit of a player factory up there. Bea O'Neill's not there, but she's only played a four or five games, I think, for Vagabonds. Not really been in the frame. She'll be a star in years to come if she's hanging around over here, because she's running in tries for fun. And the previous players that have been out there, Isla Kerfey's there with Loughborough Lightning, had trials for Wales coming up to the Six Nations. So, yeah, brilliant for Vagabonds.
Turning to this weekend then. Away at Macclesfield this weekend then in Women's NC2 North South.
It's home, I think, Rob.
My apologies. Yes, it is. In fact, I don't know what happened to the my strange mind there. It is indeed at home, just to clarify, at Ballafletcher tomorrow.
And we'll be covering it for Saturday Live as well. Vagas have still got a chance here, mathematically at least. Macclesfield are above them in the table. This will close the gap. And I think two of the other sides meet each other. I think Sale FC are playing Winnington Park. Now, depending on how that result goes, it could put Vagas very much in the frame with two games left to play. So fingers crossed for them tomorrow. The squad strength is looking really good. A home advantage as well. They didn't lose by that big a margin away at Macclesfield either, so they've got a really good chance.
Excellent. And your Vagabonds ladies squad at home at Ballafletcher to Macclesfield and Women's NC2 North South tomorrow is as follows. So your starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order are as follows. It's Becca Hicks, Sharon McCarrick, Maisie Murray, Charlotte Hurd, PJ Solis, Holly Shea, Greba Tasia, B O'Neill, Sammy McDonald, Lauren Ellison, Leona McGovern, Becky Dunn, Gabby D'Oliveira, Rosina McNair and Freya Crow. And the subs available, it's a packed subs bench for Vagabonds ladies. Plenty of options there this weekend. Christine Miller, Lois Mooney, Georgie Quayle, Neve Stringer and Iona Lee. And just finally, Dave, this was the game that was originally off this afternoon but is now back on. Hartford Homes Manx Shield, and maybe a sign of things to come in the Manx Cup as well, because Southern Nomads host Douglas Celts.
Yeah, initially, Rob, the problem was lack of a referee, and it's not because the referees are particularly overstretched this weekend. It's just that there are a few of them unavailable for a variety of reasons. So we're looking for somebody who was available and willing and qualified to referee the game. And Southern Nomads former coach Casey Davies has stepped up. Both sides say that's acceptable for them, so we're going to go ahead and play it. It's a Manx Shield game. Nomads win. They close the gap to Douglas Celts, who are top. But it is a dress rehearsal for the Manx Cup final, which is coming up on the 2nd of May. And the two sides meet again in the Manx Cup pool game on the 25th of April. So they're going to be very familiar with each other. I suspect the Manx Shield game tomorrow, there's a little bit of leeway at the top of the table where Nomads could make a comeback. But I have a feeling Douglas Celts have a game to come against Western Vikings. So Douglas Celts are the champions elect, and I think they only need a small number of championship points to take the title, and they can do that tomorrow.
Excellent. So, yeah, just a reminder, Southern Nomads versus Douglas Celts. That's kicking off at Ballykillia Park tomorrow at 2:15 in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield. Dave, thank you very much. After this short break, we're going to be turning to hockey on what is a big weekend. No fewer than four league titles still there for the taking, and Saturday marking the finale to the 2026 Isle of Man Hockey League season. More to come in the next few moments. Back in a moment.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Finally tonight, taking a look at hockey, and it is a big weekend, the finale in fact to the 2026 Isle of Man Hockey League season this Saturday. Games across the island tomorrow, and no fewer than four of the six league titles still up for grabs, and a couple of relegation battles still to be decided. So much on the line this weekend across the divisions, and plenty for myself and our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham to take a look at. And Ben, it's all down to the wire this weekend. There's drama everywhere you look already. We haven't even got to the games yet.
Yeah, absolutely. There's drama in all the leagues, and what a finale we're going to have tomorrow in the results show.
Indeed. Actually, just before we get to that as well, I just want to, take note that since you last joined us here on the sport programmes, of course, congratulations, many congratulations to the Isle of Man National Under-14 Boys Hockey Team, who have reached their final after a win on penalty shuffles after a 2-2 draw with Oxford Hawks last weekend in the England Hockey Championships. Fantastic achievement for them, Ben.
Absolutely fantastic achievement. My phone was going absolutely mad last week. The Isle of Man Junior setup have got a WhatsApp channel that we're keeping a update on how it was going, and it was so entertaining to just keep an eye on the action. And when it went to shuffles, it was like nail biting moment here. But the boys came out on top, and they head through to the final on Sunday, April the 12th, and they're going to be playing Guildford, and that's going to be played at Nottingham Hockey Centre, which is an absolute fantastic place to play hockey.
Indeed, and commiserations last weekend to the under-16 girls squad, knocked out in the semi-finals of their competition, but still incredible progress from them in their respective competitions. Always well contested, the England Hockey Championships. Turning to this weekend then, and yes, just a reminder, four of the six league titles still to be decided this weekend. Starting there with the Men's Premier League, this is one of the two that has been decided. Bacazette were crowned champions last week, Ben, but believe the relegation battle is still alive in this one?
The relegation battle...
Oh, no, it isn't in this one. It's in one of the
runners-up spot in this league, and it's between Harlequins A and Vikings A, who meet at Ramsey Grammar School at 12:35. Harlequins just sit ahead in that runners-up spot by 2 points ahead of Vikings A, so it's all to play for in that game.
Yeah, and just a reminder there of what Ben was saying there. Bacazette already crowned champions, Vikings B already relegated to this league, are both the top and bottom already decided. So that's Harlequins A and Vikings A, the battle for runners-up. Elsewhere, 12:35 at King William's College, Valkyries A against Castletown A, mid-table clash.
Yeah, both sides will definitely want to make sure that they end their season with a win. They've had mixed results, both sides. I'm sure Valkyries will be looking at their season, knowing that they would have liked to have done better. Castletown, though, will be happy that they've survived another season in the Men's Premier League. I'm just going to edge this one, though, to Valkyries.
And the other game sees Bacazette, the Men's Premier League champions, looking to make it a perfect record of 10 wins from 10 this season. They're up against Vikings B at King William's College, 2:05 pushback.
Yeah, this is going to be an absolute fantastic game for Bacazette, if they can go on and get the victory for sure. Bacazette know that they've got the title wrapped up. If they can just finish this game off this weekend with a win, it's a 100% record.
Turning to the Ladies Premier League, though, and the title still to be decided this weekend. So very quickly, Ben, could you just tell us how this could play out this weekend?
So Castletown Ladies A are currently top. They lead by 2 points over Valkyries A. Now, if Valkyries A were to win and Castletown were to lose, it would go down to goal difference, which is in favour of Castletown. However, if Castletown win or get a draw, Castletown Ladies A will retain the Ladies Premier League title.
Very well. So just quickly take us through the games taking place in the Ladies Premier League then this weekend.
The first one sees Valkyries A. They play Vikings A at 11:05 at QE2. 12:35, you've got Castletown A against Harlequins A, and that's at Castle Rushen High School. And then Castletown B v Backers A is at Ramsey Grammar School, 3:35. Unfortunately for Castletown B, it is relegation.
Indeed, already relegated going into this weekend. Turning to Men's Division 1, the title here also decided last week. Backers B crowned champions. Ben, quickly take us through what could happen there this weekend.
So the title's already confirmed. However, relegation is still yet to be decided, and the two teams in that relegation battle face off this weekend, and they are the early fixture at 11:05, and that's Harlequins B, currently bottom, play Castletown B, who are second from bottom, just 1 point ahead at the NSC. Of course, if Castletown were to win or draw, they would stay up. If Harlequins win, they will stay up. Harlequins have to win to stay up, so all to play for in that game. 2:05, you've got the champions Backers B playing Valkyries C at the NSC. I'm going to go for a Backers B win there. If they win that game, they will also finish with a 100% record. And then again at 2:05, Ramsey A take on Valkyries B at QE2. This game will decide who finish runners-up in that league.
Indeed, turning to Ladies Division 1, another of the titles that is still to be decided. Relegation already decided in this one, though, Ben.
Yeah, relegation has been decided. Backers C, unfortunately, have been relegated. But the battle at the top goes to the final game of the season. Valkyries Ladies B, currently top by 1 point ahead of Backers B. So it is a case of if Valkyries B were to draw or win, they would stay up. If Backers Ladies B were to win and Valkyries were to draw, it would go to goal difference, but the goal difference is in favour of Valkyries B. And the fixtures are Valkyries B taking on Vikings B at QB2 at 12:35. 2:05, you see Castletown C taking on Ramsey B. And then at 3:35, it's a club derby between Backers C and Backers B at King William's College.
Indeed. Men's Division 2, now where we've got three games there this weekend, the league to be decided. No relegation from this league, of course, but it is the top two, the two title rivals that face each other this weekend. Ben, take us through the fixtures.
Yeah, so no relegation in this one, but the top two face off, and that is Backers Colts currently sitting top by 1 point ahead of Vikings C, and they face off against each other at 12:35 at the NSC. We are going to cover this game for Saturday Live. 2:05, you've got Harlequins C against Ramsey B at Ramsey Grammar School. Two teams newly formed into this league this season, and have made a really good statement for themselves. And then the honour of the late pushback, the final game of the season of the late game at King William's College, is between Backers C and Castletown C at King William's College. I'm going to go for a Backers C win on that one.
And last but certainly not least, Ladies Division 2, the two games there this weekend. Now, again, no relegation from this league, but it is still, theoretically and mathematically, Ben, still up for grabs, the title in Ladies Division 2.
Yes, and the top two face off in this game, in this league as well, and that is at 3:35. Valkyries C currently sitting second, 2 points behind Ramsey B, who are top. Now, if Valkyries C were to win this game, it would go down to goal difference, but Ramsey B's goal difference is better.
Yeah, so, +22 compared to +8.
Yeah, so that it's like we've said all season though, Rob, that goal difference can be an extra point in this type of title race. So a good game there. I'm going to go for a Ramsey Ladies B win on that one. And the other fixture is at 11:05, and that's Vikings C against Castletown D at Castle Rushen High School. I think that one might end as a stalemate on that one.
Very well. So, yeah, four titles still up for grabs tomorrow. So, plenty of excitement still to come in the Manx hockey season. And just a reminder as well, although tomorrow is the conclusion of the league campaigns across the respective divisions tomorrow, we do still have cup finals to come next month, Ben.
Yes. So, at the end of April, we are going to be having the cup, plate and bowl final weekend. So, it's going to happen over Friday night and all day Saturday. Fixtures are yet to be released as to who's playing Friday night and who's playing Saturday. But as soon as we get them, we will get them out on Manx Radio's website. And yeah, some really, really good finals to come.
And just very quickly, on a very different note, actually, we are coming towards the end of the hockey season. And it's something I've asked you about on a couple of occasions throughout the campaign. But of course, games don't go ahead without sufficient umpiring numbers. We hear about some of the refereeing numbers issues in the likes of football, for example, a different sport, entirely different infrastructures and whatnot. But how has it been again this season to, I don't think, off the top of my head, Ben, please correct me if I'm wrong, there hasn't been a single game called off due to a lack of umpires this season.
Yeah, you're correct with that statement there, Rob. Yeah, no game has been being called off, because we've managed to get a good influx of new umpires trained up, and they are all out there now with the whistle, umpiring all games, which is great, because of course some weekends you do see people having to do the odd maybe one or two games. But looking at the way that things have gone this season, yeah, everything's been really great.
Excellent, Ben. Thank you very much for joining us. Plenty for you to figure out over the course of tomorrow, I'm sure, as well, on the final day of the league season. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Many thanks to our team of correspondents this evening, Tony Mepham, Dave Christian and Ben Cunningham, for all their insight. If you want to catch up on anything you may have missed in the programme today, it will be available as a podcast later this evening. But have yourself, in the meantime, a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.